We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Please be seated. When we lived in Pasture Grand, Mississippi, the road that led to our house was this long, straight, flat road you could see forever. And it had this ridiculously low speed limit on it, of course. And it was always was tempting to drive a little too fast on it, which is why the local police often set up speed traps all on that road. So Jennifer and I learned pretty early, you don't speed on Demerale Road. You'll pay a price for it. Well, one morning I was headed to church, cruising at a nearly appropriate speed, and this car, a convertible, comes flying up on my bumper. There's no other traffic on the road, it's just the two of us. And he starts blowing his horn at me, and finally he swoops around me to pass me. And just as the driver pulls alongside of me, well, he offered a hand gesture, which I'm sure he was proclaiming his particular sports team as number one to him. In fact, he loved his team so much, he wanted to show me with both hands how much he thought of that team. And it was at that same instant as he's passing me that he notices I'm wearing a priest collar. You got it. Well, the look on his face was priceless. I wish I'd have videoed it. His hands kind of melted back into place, and his jaw dropped, and his face flushed. He slammed on his brakes and lets me pull on ahead and pulls well behind me for the rest of our time on that road before we went our separate ways. Oh, did I mention that on the side of his car was one of those magnetic signs which proudly proclaimed, "Follow me to such and such church," where Jesus is worshipped and the good news is preached. We have this treasure in clay jars, St. Paul says this morning, so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Now, that's an amusing story. I hope it was amusing. It was hilarious to me when it happened. And I don't want to pick too hard on that poor driver, although I won't ever understand why he was so upset with having to pass me when it was obviously pretty easy to do so on that road. But I do know that I am not holier than thou enough to think that my own witness as a follower of Jesus doesn't also often fall far short of what it should be. We all have our moments, don't we? I tend to be a little more careful when wearing my collar, which in truth should not be the case, because we all have this treasure, and we all need to be aware that everything we do, everything we say, everything we participate in or share with others can be a reflection of that treasure. When people look at our clay jars, what's in them? What will they see? Will they see the light that Paul talks about in the second lesson, the light that has already shone in our hearts, that gives light, he says, to the knowledge of the glory of God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Well, that's a hope, and it's a tall order. I know this well. How do we take care of the treasure that we have been entrusted with? I believe that question is even harder to answer nowadays, when it's no longer assumed that everyone we know knows about Jesus or cares about Jesus or goes to church. It's even harder to answer nowadays when many who proclaim Jesus in very prominent and public ways, whether via a magnetic sign on their car or with their public actions and words, often proclaim a Jesus made in their own image, who just happens to agree with their politics or their way of life, with very little connection to what we know of our Lord from the Scriptures. It's harder these days, yet nowhere near as hard as it was for the Apostle Paul, to whom God gave the task of making sure the church of Jesus Christ survived. His response to that responsibility, you heard it this morning, for while we live, he says, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake. Why? So that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. In other words, people will see Jesus through us. We have this treasure. What do we do with it? How do we do it? It's not easy. In today's gospel, Jesus is confronted by his old foes, the Pharisees, for violating Torah, the law, by doing what they considered work on the Sabbath. The first story, he and his disciples had picked grain to eat. And then in the second one, Jesus dared to heal a man's hand on the Sabbath. And Jesus' reply when confronted over these violations was, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not the other way around. So maybe that's our answer. Maybe this is the way. I said to you before that I think the commandment about honoring the Sabbath and making it holy is broken far more than any other by followers of God. Could be this is why the Pharisees were so strict about it. Because it is a slippery slope. And we are living in the slipperiest of Sabbath times, I think, if that's a word. I'm no less guilty of breaking this commandment than any of you are because we have been trained otherwise. With all the gifts that technology brings us, and I'm a geek, y'all know that already. With all these gifts come some perhaps unintended consequences, primarily being that we not only can always be connected to our work, we feel that we must be. If my wife were here, she would be nodding her head at me at this point. The computer's ping and the tablet's notifying, our watches even vibrate, and news comes at us so fast and so furious, there is no time to absorb it all, much less reflect on it. There's no way to do so. In fact, the cycle just marches on. When horrible things happen, we don't grieve appropriately because the next thing is right in front of us. We don't take the time to critically think and debate issues anymore. We don't pause and just stop. Often our clay jars are filled with nothing but exhaustion and busyness and a false god of always being accessible. It's exhausting. And I don't think it's from God. No wonder we can't all the time show the life of Jesus in our mortal flesh. We just don't have the time. And the truth is, we, almost all of us, have been reprogrammed. The church is guilty of that as well. It's one reason that we didn't do the rummage sale this spring was to try to give us a little break in the action from all the things that we had going on. And we do a lot around here. And sometimes I wonder, is it too much? That's why the Jewels and Jeans auction is our one summer Sabbath highlight program. And it's the thing we're going to focus on and not try to do so many other things. Because we all need it. We need Sabbath time. We need Sabbath to help us remember not to chase the rabbit, instead to listen and reflect and pray and refresh and prepare. To prepare. We cannot be that face of Jesus in the world if we're not preparing ourselves to be that. And if we do these things, if we take Sabbath time to make it holy, holy just means to set it aside and make something sacred, something different, something set apart. If we do that, I promise you, the world out there won't understand that you're doing it. They won't get it. They will even ridicule you for your efforts to try to rest. But it's God who's asked us to do this. In fact, God has commanded it. Otherwise, what St. Paul describes is how we plug into, as he says, the extraordinary power of God possible for us. Paul says things will be hard. The world will be tough. Did you hear these words? Those who don't know Jesus won't relent. So in the face of that, he gives us hope for the treasures in our clay jars. Paul insists that believers of Jesus may be afflicted, yep, but we won't be crushed. We may be perplexed, but we will not despair. We may be mocked for our beliefs, but we will not be forsaken by God, and we will not be destroyed, for we have something holy to do, all of us, and that is to make the life of Jesus visible in us. That's the treasure that you and I have been entrusted with. This has to be what we show the world, the life of Jesus, the life of Jesus. And I believe the only way we can persevere in that is by being mindful of Sabbath time, making it actually holy for us and for our families, holy and set apart and dedicated to God. It's not just vacation, it's resting with God. Perhaps it is the only way to claim ourselves and instead proclaim Jesus as Lord of our lives. And that means every part of our lives. I have to read that over and over to myself, in case you didn't know. Every part of our lives. We start with holy time, folks. Consider that. The face of Jesus displayed by our lives, not by signs on the side of our cars. It is a treasure we have been given and that we are called to share. It's a life we've been called to live. We have to proclaim our Lord as Lord. Lord of our time. Lord of our lives. So take some rest, my friends. Fill up your jars for God. Amen.